Well. My name is Tyler Byrne, and this is Lo-Fi Lit, a podcast where I interview, interrogate, and analyze people that I meet on the internet, from poets to publishers to people that run presses and even people that run podcasts. On today's episode, I talk to Lyndon. Lyndon is a magnificent, marvelous person, artist who hosts the Response Pod podcast with his husband, David, and their friend, Plastic Bagger. Lyndon, this was a fun one. Lyndon's great. Lyndon's the best. All right. That's all I got to say. Let's go to the show. Also, this week, there's going to be numerous episodes coming out. So listen to all of them. You know, I was going to do every week, come out with a new episode. I record so many of these because I never know. I don't know when this is going to end. I could die. I could be walking down the street and get hit by an airplane. I could be attacked by a cat, you know. I could lose it in my head, you know. So, you know, I'm just record as many as I can and just put them all out willy-nilly. Fuck it. I don't care anymore. You're going to listen to what you're going to listen to, you know? Who cares? All right, let's get to Lyndon. Lyndon was great. Lyndon was friendly, kind. I like David, too. I want to hang out with these two guys again. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to go down to Detroit and hang out with these two guys. All right, I'll see you guys later. Lo-Fi Lit. I'm out. There's a guy with a blonde mustache at my Quick Trip, and it kind of attractive.
There's some hot convenience store guys. Sometimes you get a gem. Around here, not so many. They're all Chaldean because I live in Detroit, and we actually have, I think, like the biggest Arab population, like outside of like Minnesota or something. Because during like the '60s, a bunch of Chaldeans who are like Iraqi Christians immigrated from Iraq. And they opened a bunch of businesses. So all the convenience stores here are run by Chaldeans who hate everyone in the neighborhood except white people. They're very nice to me and David.
Now, I have a question. Are you going to complain about the camera setup when you go back on your podcast? Because that's what David did. It was David's suggestion to do the camera phone and the microphone.
Oh, really?
And then he complained that I made him do that when he went back on his podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you mean like use a camera on the podcast?
Yeah, on this podcast, he said that I made him do the phone camera and the computer. And I was like, I never made him do that. That was his suggestion.
That was all you, bro.
That was
classic David blaming everyone.
Yeah. So, okay, how do you meet David? And how do you get into comp? Maybe we should cover your artistry.
My artistry. How did I get into what?
How did you get into comics? I think I covered the David stuff already on his episode.
Yeah, probably. We met at the library, and then like I asked him to buy me tobacco because I was underage and I didn't have a fake yet.
He said you were reading like Cormac McCarthy or something.
I was. We were at like this writing group at the Seattle Public Library, and I was reading like Blood Meridian at the time, so I had it on the table because I was reading before we started.
But it was like a gay writing group.
Yes.
So were you into community stuff like that at the time?
I was as a teenager, yeah. I was pretty active in that kind of thing. Seattle was just a big place for that, and the time I grew up in, I think there was like a huge focus on that. I also grew up in the gay neighborhood of Seattle, like Capitol Hill. So there were just like little coffee shops and like there were gays everywhere.
Yeah, I bet. And that's like the It Gets Better, like probably around that time.
It Gets Better era. Yeah. Dan Savage from that weekly, The Stranger,
I like that. I love that show. His podcast where he talks about sex and stuff. Like that was one of my main podcasts I listened to about being gay. But then like the It Gets Better stuff, I did not really like because then it kind of blew up into the mainstream. It was just weird, too gimmicky, I guess.
Yeah, and you know sometimes it doesn't get better, bro.
No, it doesn't.
Sometimes it just gets worse.
It did not get better at all.
It did not get better. I think it got measurably worse, man.
Yes, yes.
It's gotten pretty bad.
I think it was because Obama was in at that time. So then, if you're in at that time and you're older, then maybe it got better, but it didn't get better for us. So
no, the only time I voted was for Obama in 2012 because I turned 18 in 2011.
I mean, that was a popular thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, I'm into comics, or I used to be a lot heavier into comics, and I read the Comics Journal and all this.
I thought you were going to say I used to be a lot heavier.
I was. Yeah. I used to be a lot heavier. I used to be 300 something.
Really? Shit.
Yeah, and I'm 280 or 260, but
you don't look it. Are you tall though?
Yeah, I'm 6'4". It's all in my gut.
I say I'm 6'2", but I'm really 5'1 and a half, man. It's all a lie. I'm not a doctor. I say all this shit on my Twitter profile. It's not true. I am schizophrenic and vegan.
You think those two things are linked?
Being schizophrenic and vegan?
Yeah.
I do think my diagnosis and living with this shit has made me very interested and pro personhood for animals, personhood for mentally ill people, because I found out when your brain is broken, a lot of people don't treat you like a full person. They kind of treat you like a baby or a retard or an old person to be indulged. And people don't believe what you say. And then there's institutional treatment and mental health industry complex stuff that's really dehumanizing. I have a lot of experience with that. But with animals, it's the same thing. I think the first story I got published, it's basically just about personhood, however dumb that sounds. But how I got into comics was I read a lot of comics when I was younger too.
Like what? Like Archie?
Archie. Actually, I think the first comic I ever read was Doonesbury and my grandpa's newspaper he'd get every day.
Yeah, I love the newspaper comics.
Yeah, I did too. Every Sunday we'd read the paper together. It was really nice. And then
the Pickles or those old couple?
I don't think Pickles was serialized in the Oregonian.
What comics did you have?
I was really into Japanese comics as a kid.
No, in the Sunday newspaper.
I liked Doonesbury a lot, which is very weird for a 9-year-old to be into. I didn't really understand what was going on, but I liked the drawings a lot.
That was the political one, right?
Yeah, and it had kind of this finicky line work I really liked, and it was pretty dense.
They're always smoking cigarettes.
I know. I smoke in the office when I'm doing something.
Do you think Doonesbury influenced you to smoke cigarettes?
Everything I saw influenced me to smoke cigarettes. Looks fucking cool. I started smoking when I was 12.
Really?
Yeah. That's awesome. I moved to Seattle when I was 12 and then instantly became a bad kid.
Well, maybe you're just stressed out. You needed a cigarette.
I was fucking stressed out, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad had a new girlfriend. She kept calling me fat.
What a bitch.
She was a huge bitch. One time I called her fat. I was we were fighting and I was you're fat. And then she slapped me across the face.
Holy shit.
I was I think I was 15. It was the only time that happened. So it was I think I would find it hard not to hit a child if they called me fat.
I would not hit a kid.
No, I really wouldn't either. I'm really passive. I'm exceedingly passive. I can't even argue. When we first started doing the podcast, I had a really hard time talking critically about anything.
I think it would be hard to talk critically. I think
it is, but I also get mad all the time because I feel I see so much stuff that's just kind of empty.
Yeah.
And lacking.
Well, I think because you guys are reading like internet lit, and a lot of internet lit, it's more of a variety show of literature.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. It's the internet. So like there's less of a filter.
Yeah.
Which is really nice.
And you're coming from like an alt-lit angle. Like you're coming into a different niche community.
It's true. I didn't know much about it. I only got Twitter in like late May. Mm-hmm.
You've never been on Twitter before?
I had an art account at one point like a few years ago, and then I closed it because I didn't really like it and like moved somewhere else.
What's the art community like?
I'm on like Tumblr and Blue Sky. And
Blue Sky's so liberal.
Oh yeah, dude. When I first like opened an account, I used to get the craziest like lib shit in my feed all the time. Mm-hmm. And I posted a picture of my cat and it got like 700 likes.
Yeah,
they're out of nowhere, and a bunch of blue no matter who people followed me, and I had to keep like blocking them.
Yeah.
But I think art people are really nice. For whatever reason, the comics I draw attract some really sweet little weirdos, and they like to overshare with me and tell me a lot of like personal information. I'm surprised people have taken like an investment in anything I do.
Do they see you as a leader?
Oh, no, I don't think so. Okay. I think they just see me as like... maybe an internet friend, or
because you're very talented at art, maybe they see that as a leadership quality and they want to like share things with you.
Maybe. I also just and they address a lot of I guess like just subjects people would feel strongly about, and like, you know, it's a lot of like high drama shit. Mm-hmm. So I think maybe that prompts people to like relate kind of strongly and feel like they can talk to me, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Which has been really nice, because like I've had agoraphobia for like 5 years. When I first started developing like my skits, I stopped going outside, and I didn't go outside for like 2 years. And then I was okay, and I could go outside for like a year. And then one day, I think it was like December 13th, 2 years ago from now, almost 2 years, I was walking home from the gas station at like maybe 6 in the morning, and it was winter, so it was still a little dark, pretty dark. And this guy tried to kidnap me on my way home from the gas station.
Fuck.
Like he rolled up in a van and he had police lights on his van. And I thought I was getting arrested at first, like no joke.
Mm-hmm.
Because he tackled me from behind.
What the fuck?
Yeah, dude. And it was crazy, because I remember him pulling up beside me, and you know how time moves kind of slow when something like that happens.
Yeah.
And I just thought like, this is what I've dreaded and expected to happen my whole life growing up the way I did. And it's finally happening. It's finally happening. Oh, fuck. And so he tackles me and he goes, well, he runs up behind me and I hear like footsteps like behind me. And then he grabs me and he says, shh, 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 which is a creepy thing to do.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to kidnap someone, which is creepy to begin with.
Yeah.
Kind of a creep thing. So he tackles me and we fall on the sidewalk and we're struggling. And, then I see like this flash and he has handcuffs. And I look at those and, they look like a harbinger of death to me. As soon as I see them, I know like, if he gets those on me, like I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to come back home. So somehow I don't even know, cause I can barely open like one of our windows. We live in a 100-year-old house and they're heavy. And I have trouble lifting a cast iron pan full of David's dinner. I need to lift, man.
Mm-hmm.
But, so I don't know. He wasn't able to get them on me. So he picked me up and he started carrying me to the car. And he had me like right up against the back door of the van. And I remember like on the side, there's this motel, this real shitty motel called the Rio Grande. And I'm looking at the fence there and I'm like half a block away from my house. Like this is all happening half a block from my house. And I think like, I'm going to disappear this morning and David and the cats are never going to know what happened to me or where I went. And I'm half a block from my house and that's fucking stupid. So then I remember like I have this pepper spray in my pocket and I keep it uncapped for times like this. So I spray it behind me and it gets him like right in the eyes, luckily, and he goes down and I go down too. And I guess he was hurting too much to like really get up and catch me. So I just started running. And I lost one of my shoes and he had broken my glasses, but I still had a bag with ice cream in it, like sherbet, that I guess I had been like swinging around the whole time, like a weapon, and I didn't realize I had it. So I'm running home with one shoe and this ice cream. And it was weird because the pepper spray did not bother me or affect me till I got in my door. And I guess it was adrenaline. Because as soon as I got inside, I started like going kind of blind and I called David from the foot of the stairs and I was like, David, David. So that was what made me stop going outside again. And I think I've gone out, this sounds really bad, but like maybe four times since then.
So has that, does that like happen a lot in your neighborhood?
My neighborhood, I guess it's a shitty neighborhood, man. Like shit happens.
Like do you hear accounts of that happening?
Actually, when this was happening, I have a Nextdoor account. Because I'm nosy and I guess like people say I'm paranoid and shit, but I'm just security minded. Mm-hmm. During that time I get like update emails from them. And this lady had posted that she'd been driving and we live right by a high school. Mm-hmm. That she'd been driving and she'd seen this high school girl walking to school and that she was being trailed by a white van. And she posted a picture on Nextdoor and the van was on my street. I could see my house, in the picture. And I was like, whoa, holy shit. And then this other lady had posted that she was waiting on the corner for the light. And he slowed down. I think it was the same person. It was the same exact van. And it was like within the same 2 weeks.
Damn.
She had a gun. And she kind of flashed it at him and he got scared and drove away. So I guess he was just like driving around the neighborhood trying to snatch people up. Luckily it didn't seem to happen to anyone.
What was David's reaction?
He was just really fucked up about it, really sweet. Real protective. He took care of me.
Was he like roaming the neighborhoods trying to find this van guy?
No. But he did. He went back to look for my shoes in the snow and my glasses.
It was in the snow?
Yeah. It was in the snow.
Damn.
Detroit, it snows like crazy here from like early December to like early March.
Were you yelling when this was going on?
I don't remember. I remember running home and on my way home, I like tried to yell, but it wouldn't get louder. It wouldn't like come out enough. And I don't know why. I guess I just couldn't, which was disheartening because you always think like this is the time to scream, man. But
well, it's a good thing you had your pepper spray on you.
Yeah. David bought that for me from a guy at the gas station. I guess it's like police pepper spray or something. So that's why I stopped going outside again. And I also just like tend to hear people talking shit about me and saying like really heinous shit. And even on medicine, I still have like episodes and shit. And I guess I have like some hallucinations pretty consistently even so. But it's like I'd rather have that happen than be on some of the other antipsychotics I've been on because you just can't do anything, man.
Okay.
I just smoked weed for the first time since like January the other day.
Wow. So where's is David at work?
Yeah, he's at work. He works till like 8. Yeah.
When is it work? Do you think he's talking about intellectual things?
At work?
Yeah.
Maybe. He said perchance in the group chat, and they made fun of him. They also like to ask him why his pants are up so high, because they all like wear their pants low. He's well-liked at work. People like him in the neighborhood. He knows pretty much everybody. I mean, we've lived here since like 2018. So a good while.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, we lived in Pennsylvania, where David's from, in the town he like grew up in.
Is he really from Appalachia?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Does it show?
Yeah. Yeah. In like temperament, in a philosophy, I guess. He's pretty dark-sided sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
He just thinks everyone should die, man. Which is like, I can respect that. I see where you're coming from. He grew up really poor in Appalachia, really close to the Mason-Dixon, like South Central PA.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really close. So I think people call it like that bitch in Orange is the New Black, like Pennsylvania.
Can I see your art?
How do I, do you want me to send it to you?
Sure.
Later or now?
Or can I see a pic? Do you have like a picture I can see right now?
It's all like digital shit.
Oh, okay.
I draw on like a tablet, so I can send some to you later.
Okay. How expensive was the tablet? And if the tablet breaks, are you fucked?
It's like $50 for a tablet.
Oh. Okay.
So it's not so bad.
All right. I thought it was like tablets you have to use are like hundreds of dollars.
Well, I mean, people have those screen tablets. I just draw on like a black square with a little pen.
Okay.
So they're real cheap. It's really accessible, like digital art. I have a friend who's, my best friend is a painter, and their family is also poor. And they just would not be able to afford these paints in real life.
Do you do grids and panels?
Like follow a grid and...
Yeah.
I do panels because I do comics. I don't really like use a grid. They're all kind of different sizes depending on what I want to do.
Do you start drawing first and then you do the panels, or do you do the panels first?
I do the panels first. I think about like what I want each panel to look like. Like I script and I write down like what everyone's doing in panel by panel. And then I lay out the panels and I sketch everything. Then do the speech bubbles and I ink.
You do all that yourself?
Yeah. I really enjoy it. But I draw for like 8, 9, sometimes 10 hours a day. Because I don't work.
What if you mess up a letter after you've already drawn everything?
I redraw it, man. Sometimes.
So you
I
have
just...
to redraw the whole thing if you mess up a letter in the while after the panel and everything?
Oh, I can just like hit undo or I can erase it and draw it again.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, because it's digital. I forgot.
Yeah, which is great because I'm really fussy, so I make a lot of mistakes and I redraw the same thing a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to make comics that are really dense, like packed with like panels, and it's all a bunch of words, because I always really liked like the American tradition of just packing your comic full of dialogue and text, like those old superhero comics.
Yeah.
And also like Alan Moore's comics, like From Hell especially. I really like that one. It's incredibly dense. It's a great comic. It's super long.
Did you ever read Bone?
Bone? No, I've been recommended Bone a lot. I just haven't gotten around to it. I have such a big backlog always of comics to read.
What's your favorite?
My favorite comic ever is probably Keep on Vibrating by Jiro Matsumoto.
Okay.
It's like a collection of short comics. Centering around this brother and sister named Sample and Krezel, who wear gas masks, can't say it. And their mom is just like an abusive drunk who you only see the bottom half of her face, and she just eats disgustingly all the time. And they walk around the city and find dead girls and dead cats and dead babies. And he's a really interesting artist. he's published mostly in this comic called Manga Erotic Zef, because he is also like a giant pervert who's obsessed with poop. I have like several comics of his where just like this girl suddenly shits. Like there's this comic he did called Velveteen and Mandala, and there's this scene where Velveteen gets raped by a bunch of zombies and then mm-hmm. like takes a shit during it. I don't know, he's a poop guy. But he makes great comics, his art is great. Really love that guy. My favorite American comic is probably Hothead Paisan.
What is that about?
Hothead Paisan is a comic from the 80s about a lesbian terrorist named Hothead Paisan. And she just like lives in this world of incredibly retarded, aggressive, straight people. And it drives her insane. So she starts fantasizing about just like killing everyone. And she That's spends funny. The whole comic like, yeah, it's very, very funny. It's by this lady named Diane DeMassa, and it's set in Provincetown during the 80s. So it's like a very specific time and place, especially for like gay history.
So do you draw deaths in your comics?
Yeah, a lot. I really like to draw gore and violence, wounds, like body horror stuff.
I think that's healthy.
I think so too. It can be like very cathartic, and it's fun because it's so fiddly. And you can draw some really grisly close-ups, and I've always been very interested in exploitation movies. They're most of what I watch.
And, you watch black exploitation movies?
I love black exploitation movies. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Coffee, you know, Truck Turner is a real crazy one. Truck Turner is like an extremely incoherent black exploitation movie about this like black PI who drives this giant truck. And he goes around fucking people up. It's great. I forget who's in it. I enjoy this a lot. There's this, it's not quite black exploitation, but I collect videotapes. And I have this tape called Ganja and Hess. That's this black 70s vampire movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really weird, slow movie. There's an African curse involved.
Wow.
It's very stately, for an exploitation movie. Like it's a very interesting movie.
Isn't David also like a movie buff?
Yeah. Yeah. We've always watched a lot of movies together. And
now, would you guys make one?
I don't know. I don't know if we really have the resources or know enough people in real life to make one. When I was doing a lot of coke when we lived in Chambersburg, PA, at one point I had been banished to the basement for being too much of a cokehead and freebasing in my walk-in closet.
Now, what's the worst thing that happens when you're doing coke?
The thing is, I think you feel great. But everyone starts to hate you because you start being like a crazy piece of shit.
Really?
Yeah. I felt great. I was like, everything I'm doing is okay. Mm-hmm. But I guess I was like, incredibly erratic.
Oh.
But I used to, when I was banished to the basement, I used to.
You were banished?
No one wanted to deal with me, bro. I think he said, like, if you want to keep, like, doing weird shit, just go to the basement.
That's and nice
I
was of like, him.
Okay, yeah. So I took all my camera shit down there because I was really into, like, making videos at the time and, like, have shot quite a few music videos for David's, like, solo music project, Ride the Lightning Courtney, which he doesn't do anymore, but he's made some really good music under that name. So I would just like roll around in plastic screaming and like film myself doing weird shit. It was all very stupid, but I enjoyed it. I always wanted to make a movie.
Just for art. It's for art.
Man, it's for art. I think that's why I make comics the way that I do is because I love movies so much. And I think naturally you're going to follow like visually the instincts of like the things you love.
Is it hard to do art when you don't have that high of the cocaine hits?
No, I was actually, I only started drawing seriously in 2021. I needed something to do And David had bought me a tablet like a couple years before that I never really used. I think I did less art when I was doing a lot of drugs, except when I was a teenager and I was addicted to heroin. I wrote a lot because what are you going to do? You're just sitting around. You don't have the energy, man. But with
what do you think the agoraphobia, like, I understand that, like, you almost get kidnapped, so you want to stay inside. But when you step outside, is there just like an ultimate fear of like something happening?
Yeah, yeah. A great, great paralyzing fear. I think I'm going to get hit by a car, or that someone's going to murder me, or rape me and kill me, or kill me and rape me. Even the sun feels exposing and evil. Like, sometimes I think evil lives in the sun, because it just exposes you. I don't know how to explain this, but it's something I feel when I go outside.
Well, it's like, I got in a car crash, and it's like getting back into a car and driving is like, I don't want to do that. Like, it's kind of like,
no,
you gotta go do it again. It's like, really, it is a little traumatizing, but
it is. Yeah. Aunt, Shelley, got in a really bad car accident when she was 15. She got hit head on by a drunk driver with her sister, and she got cut in half by the seatbelt.
The fuck?
Yeah, dude. This was like in 1984,
Jesus.
I think. And it was fucked. She almost died. She had to be like life lighted. And she was paralyzed for the rest of her life. And really fucking cool lady, like the coolest lady I ever knew. She had a handicap tattoo on her arm. She liked to play pool. We'd smoke a lot of pot together. And the thing about people that age, or at least like my relatives and all the people I used to hang out with, when they smoke weed, they become like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They just like giggle. They eat. They get the munchies real bad. They're very funny. And I feel like people younger just kind of zone out more. Yeah. But they're like fucking Cheech and Chong, man.
Mm-hmm.
I got my mom stoned out of an apple once. She didn't really smoke weed. She was a huge drunk who drank steel.
Is she the one that murdered the dog?
Yeah. She killed the dog. We were talking about that in the last chat, huh?
Yeah.
She did drown the dog because it couldn't stay in the hotel, which was crazy.
Now, would you put that in your comics?
Maybe. Yeah. I haven't done something like explicitly like autobiographically yet.
Okay. Has David ever broken up with you?
One time.
What happened?
I think I was 20. And we knew this girl named Mary. And she was so lame. She wore like a chain wallet. She'd grown up in the Quiverful cult.
What?
Yeah. So she didn't like really know much about Quiverful. You know Quiverful?
No.
They're like fundamentalist Christians, and the name Quiverful comes from I think it's a Bible verse. To keep your quiver full, and they mean children, arrows in your quiver. So to have lots of children and multiply, and they have very many kids, and they're very orthodox, I guess, devout, pious.
Sounds like an Appalachian like cult.
I forget where she was. I think she was just from Washington.
Okay.
They're all over the country. David's grandma used to go to a snake church.
I could believe that.
Yeah.
Was she like a preacher?
No. She was just a old lady from Baltimore who settled in Appalachia with David's grandpa.
Did she speak tongues?
They did speak in tongues at the church.
I believe that.
It was pretty wild, I guess.
Did David
speak in tongues?
Yeah.
I don't think he ever, he might have only gone once, or he might have never gone at all. I don't remember. But he cannot. He speaks a lot of fake Chinese.
Yeah, I've heard.
Everyone. Yeah.
Do you think that's like almost like speaking a tongue in a way?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's a pretty realistic.
Maybe his tongue just comes out in Chinese.
He's speaking in that China tongue, man.
Yeah.
But he speaks such good fake Chinese that I guess whoever's listening to us on our computer, we started getting commercials on YouTube in Mandarin, which is very funny. I get a lot of commercials aimed at doctors. I guess because I say I'm a doctor so often.
I get ads from, like, it's called Base 44, and it's for, like, making apps, and I don't know how to stop getting those ads. I don't want to make an app. Like, what the fuck?
I get ads for hospitals all the time, which really bother me, because I don't know, I've had some fucked up shit happen to me. Being a schizo is unpleasant.
Ads are traumatizing.
They're
fucking dumb.
It's bad, man. The situation's bad. I've seen some shit I didn't want to. So I get a bunch of ads for hospitals. There's an option on YouTube and Google to be like, don't play me this ad. But I've done it a million times. It doesn't work. They don't give a fuck.
Cat.
Hey, Stan. Is my big cat in front of the camera? Yeah, he's like a big blob. Mm-hmm.
How many cats you got?
I have 4 cats. We have a really big house. And we have just taken in.
Now, are most of the walls red?
The walls in the office are red. None of the other walls are red. We have blue walls, yellow walls, pink walls.
Damn, we got
walls.
a lot of walls.
We got a lot of walls.
How big is the office?
Like a normal bedroom size. Okay. I'm always in here because we work in here.
Okay.
But our house used to be a boarding house.
Do you ever go in the room David's in there like, fuck, I can't be in there?
Sometimes. When he listens to video game videos, I'll at least put on headphones. There's this guy, Civi11, he listens to, whose voice just sets me completely on edge for some reason. It drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. But I watch a lot of videos about fat people.
About fat people?
Yeah, about fat people, bro. Something's wrong with me.
How fat?
Like my 600-pound life fat.
Okay.
Or like a fat activist. I don't know. I guess I'm just fascinated with it.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been like kind of fucked up about food, man.
Do you like those paintings? Like some lady from Mexico, she like illustrates only bigger people.
I don't know if I've seen those. I can really appreciate like those old Rubens paintings, those very like Zaftig women, who were also just men with boobs painted on them because it was so inappropriate and unacceptable to hire a female model at that time, even a prostitute, because even that would ruin her reputation. So like Michelangelo and like Rubens and all those guys were using men for the models in these paintings of very voluptuous women, is why they look kind of the way they do. And they have like added, I think, like chub and obviously like hips and breasts, but you can tell if you look at them. I always thought that was very interesting.
How far did that happen until?
I don't think too long. I think like probably by like the Edwardian era or the Victorian era, they'd stop doing that.
Okay.
Then they just started having very rich patrons and painting very flattering pictures of them. I went to Amsterdam when I was 14. We stayed on a houseboat owned by a lesbian named Natasha who kissed me. This like really beautiful butch woman. And Amsterdam was
you say she kissed you like once or several times?
Just
or
once, man, but it blew my mind at the time. I was 14.
She just like kissed you on the head or something?
No, mouth.
She like made out with you?
Just once, just a kiss. Like a movie kiss.
Just a smooch.
Yeah, just a smooch, man.
Okay.
Just a smooch.
Nothing problematic.
Nothing problematic. Just a smooch, man.
Good.
A pleasant smooch.
Were you surprised? Were you shocked?
Yes, man. Yeah, of course. I don't even remember how it happened. We were just on the houseboat. We went there with my grandparents.
How big's the boat?
The boat, not huge. Pretty cozy. Okay. It was just on one of the canals in Amsterdam.
Did you get seasick?
No, it didn't move at all.
Okay.
Yeah, the canals are really narrow and small.
Mm-hmm.
But it's full of museums. Like, we went to Rembrandt's old house, and it had all his sketches and stuff. There's this museum called the Rijksmuseum that takes like 5 days to go through, so we would go every day. And Frank's house is also there, and we went there, and it was very my grandpa cried.
Wow.
Yeah.
Powerful.
It is, because you walk in there and it's the same house, and they replaced a lot of the furniture to look like how it did when they were living in it, because the Nazis took out all the furniture and like destroyed it. But they have clothing under glass, her marbles, obviously her diary pages under glass, all this stuff.
You had a very educated upbringing.
Yeah. My dad went to Brown for a degree in medieval history. I think I said that last chat. I got kicked out of Brown preschool, actually, for being a piece of shit. I don't know.
What'd you do?
I was awful. I got in fights all the time, and I like screamed and cried, and I would try to beat up kids. And also, like, I remember very clearly climbing on this swinging wire bookcase, the kind that rotated around, and saying like, boys can't read girl books, and boys can't read, and girls can't read boy books, and not letting anyone get books for some reason. I guess I was like, I don't know what I was doing, man. Very, very fervent believer, I guess, in a biological essentialism as a child.
What was the thing that they kicked you out for? What was the final straw?
I don't remember, man. It's hard to remember everything in preschool because you're so young. Like, I think you're like four. And my memories of that time are pretty spotty. That was in Rhode Island. And then we moved back to Oregon. And my parents got divorced. And I lived with my mom. And we moved to the town in rural Oregon where my grandparents live. It's so small. They count as part of the population, the federal prisons population up on the hill. So I lived there till I was 12. And then one day my mom was like, broke out of my grandparents' house and was walking around the neighborhood naked. And my grandma's like, you got to go with your dad, man. So I went that day. I had to say goodbye to my friends like real quick. And then all of a sudden I was in Seattle with my dad, who I hadn't seen for like 6 years.
That's a culture shock.
Yeah. The last time we saw each other, we had gotten in a car accident. And my mom was taking care of this dog for her boss. And I guess this is a family trait. I didn't do this on purpose. But I very much felt it was the worst thing I had done in my life.
Uh-oh.
Forever. Like, maybe till I was like,
what'd you do?
Well, my mom was taking care of her boss's dog, this Chihuahua named Bob, who was very neurotic. And like I said, we had gotten in a car accident, me and my dad. And I had whiplash really bad even when we got home. I remember we stopped at Burger King to like wash the airbag dust off. But I couldn't walk very well. I was so dizzy. So when I got out of the car, I stumbled. And Bob comes running out of the house.
Oh, no.
And my mom is in the doorway. And I stumble and fall. And I stumble on his neck, and it breaks, and he dies. So he's like twitching on the ground.
Oh my God. Nine.
And I was like, I must've been like 9 or 10. I think 9 or 10. No, probably 10 or 11. I don't remember. I just remember the
fucking blame.
Yeah, my mom did. My dad didn't. My mom did. She was so insane. She was like,
well, like, you killed the boss's dog.
Yeah, man. Yeah, one of the worst things I've ever done in my life, even though it was an accident. It was absolutely horrific. And she's screaming at me, and she's like hammered drunk already. So she's beside herself, and I'm beside myself. I'm like screaming and crying. My dad, who's very uncomfortable with feelings, is just standing there in front of the rental car we had to rent, being like, and he left immediately. He left me. He just dipped, man, which was very funny in retrospect. And then I didn't see him again until I was like 12, when I went to live with him.
So what happened with the boss?
The boss, I never heard about it again.
Okay.
It was her boss at the nursing home. Never heard about it. We'd had the dog for like, almost half a year. I don't know.
Oh shit. Okay.
Taken back. So I guess my dad was, well, is, he's not dead. He lives in France.
Oh yeah.
Like a medieval tower. It's crazy. It's like a little castle.
Have you visited him?
No, he's invited everyone but me, man. It's crazy.
Really?
Well, yeah.
What an ass.
Yeah, it's bullshit, right? Invites my cousin. My step cousin. She's not even my real cousin. He was pretty well off. He lived in a very nice condo.
Is he homophobic?
No. Okay. He did. Well, there's just a long. When I was like a toddler, I guess for some reason, my mom bet my grandma that I'd be gay. And I don't know why this was. I found out about it later and I was like, you guys are fucked up. My stepmom's family, we were having a birthday party for her 80-year-old grandma or 84-year-old grandma. And they had gotten this hot man cake from the erotic bakery. And they got a bikini cake also. Mm-hmm. And who do they give the crotch of both cakes? Lyndon. He had this flip out once because he never met any of my friends. And they never came over because we were just doing drugs. He flipped out on me. He's like, I don't know who your friends are. You never bring people over. Do you have an eating disorder? Are you gay? And I just like didn't say anything. And I think I left. Yeah, he's like that. He's wants to be supportive, but he's kind of cold.
I feel like the dog thing would make a great panel, by the way, in a comic.
Probably. It'd probably make a great little comic.
You should focus on your life.
Yeah, maybe I should do that. I'm about to finish this.
If that's not your thing, I could see why you wouldn't.
I haven't done it before. I have no, I'm not opposed to it at all.
Okay.
I'm almost done with like this 40, it's 41 pages right now. I'm working on the 41st page. It'll probably be like 50 pages. Been working on it for months. And after that, I was approached, I think I said, did I say this in the chat that this Latvian comics publisher I really like called Kush, I'm going to do a short comic for their 18 plus 18th birthday book. And there's a dead dog in that one.
What do you think about superheroes?
Superheroes?
Yeah.
I guess I've never really been interested in superheroes.
Good.
I really liked Xena Warrior Princess as a kid. And like Sailor Moon, I guess that's a superhero.
Did you ever read Fable?
Fable.
Like Vertigo, I think.
No, I've never heard of that one actually. What is that about?
Yeah, it's just about different. They like retcon fables and it's a bit more violent. And I think there's like, just, it's more of a police procedural, but set in like the Fable, you know, universes and all that shit.
Okay, I feel you. I did like
I think it's Dark Horse that publishes that.
Dark Horse puts out some cool stuff. They put out Berserk, which is a great comic.
Yeah.
He died a couple of years ago, Toshio Miura, but it's like the most baroque, like, violent, grotesque, like medieval art that I've ever seen. Everything is crazy intricate. The comic was left unfinished when he died, and now I think he has assistants following his script and trying to finish it. But it's been running for like 20 years, if not more. No, 1994, so real long time. I can't do math. It's to the point I don't even try anymore.
When you started doing comics, did you have to study the comics that you were reading, or did you just go for it?
I don't think I did it on purpose or anything. I think you just absorb a lot of stuff by osmosis.
Yeah.
The same way with writing. I feel like it's hard to talk about these things a little bit, what I do, because I'm very simple-minded about it. I guess I'm never really thinking about like tools or such and such thing, or I'm going to use this or employ this or anything. I think what I pay attention to the most is, does this make sense? Is this clear? Like, Is it ordered correctly?
Why does your dad want to live in a castle? Is that like kind of like Don Quixote or something? He wants to be like a knight.
My dad wants to be a medieval Anglo-Saxon. He is a 62-year-old Jewish man from Oregon, but he wants to be a medieval Anglo-Saxon. I think I told you guys last chat about his alter ego, Johannes Kalthammer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he made his own crest and he like paints it in his house on the awnings.
I mean, that feels very close to like a mental thing, I guess.
A mental thing?
Like it could be like a mental disorder, but it's if it's sane, I guess. Like if it's an alter ego.
I think it's just a fantasy thing. He has played D&D with the same group of friends since he was 14 years old.
But I feel like there's a difference between that and then like going to France and living in a castle and like.
Yeah. He's just always been very into history, and him and his wife had been wanting to move to Europe since pretty much I knew them. So they saved a bunch of money. They both had the same job denying veterans medical claims at the VA. Evil job. But,
no, it's funny though because David's mom lives in France too.
Yeah, she lives in Marseille, and my dad lives in Fougères. They're like on the opposite side of the country.
Okay.
They've never met. Our parents have never met.
Have you told him this?
Told him what?
That your parents live on different sides.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot of the things I tell my dad, he just responds to with like, okay.
Is he autistic?
I don't know, dude. Maybe. Maybe, man.
It does sound like autism, though. Like, if he doesn't like react emotionally, and then he has like this obsession with like medieval shit.
Oh yeah. He writes in medieval script.
Yeah, that sounds autistic.
He uses a wax seal for all his letters, a personalized wax seal. He probably is autistic, man. So many times I'll give him good news, and he'll just be like, "Okay, love you." And it's like, all right, cool.
Sounds like how I respond to stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to react.
I'm always pretty effusive. I try to be pleasant. I think because I'm so passive, man. I'm not trying to like wake the boar or whatever the expression.
But your house, it almost seems like a castle in a way.
It's huge. It's really big. It's like an old duplex. It's gigantic. And like I said, it used to be a boarding house. So they're like, everything is sectioned off into little rooms. We have a door in our kitchen to our basement, and it goes down the stairs, and downstairs there's like a whole nother house. And the basement is also sectioned off into tiny rooms. It's huge and extremely creepy, and it's full of spiders.
Have you thought about renting it out to people?
Yeah.
You guys could do a reading. You guys could invite people down.
I know.
And have
I've been
a festival.
Wanting to use like that space for something cool sometimes because we have so much space down there. And we can't use all this house. We're two people and four cats. And the cats use a lot of house. But, you know, I mostly hang out in the same places all the time. But that would be really cool. I've thought about like wanting to like screen like tapes there too, because I have so many cool videotapes that are hard to find. I have a crazy tape collection, man. My pride and joy. Or doing readings. There are lots of writers in Detroit. I've only met them on Twitter.
First, have them come stay at your place or something.
What?
Have them come stay at your place for a few days.
Yeah. We've thought about like renting out rooms in the house only to like art people, which would be fine.
I wouldn't trust art people though.
I'm really concerned about having like most people in my house.
Yeah, if you've been attacked on the street, you might not be too eager to have kind of art people stay at your house.
It's hard not to ascribe bad intentions to everyone. Mm-hmm. I would say that having what I have has made me an extremely fearful person. Mm-hmm. I guess that's part and parcel. It's also not always bad. You know, God talks to me. I've seen angels. I've seen beautiful things. Like,
what do they look like?
To visit me. They don't look like anything. I just hear them. And I've seen like a laser flying through the sky outside the office, and I knew that was an angel light. I've seen like an archon, and I can't describe. I was telling my therapist about this today because I don't know. I've been taking my meds really late, and I haven't been sleeping very much because I need to finish this comic, and it makes me kind of weird. She said it was making me weird or something. But I was just trying to explain, like, I'm a religious person. I think what I've seen and experienced has made me have pretty syncretic religious beliefs, because I can't discount the things I've seen or heard. David is much more conventionally religious. He's just observant. But, you know, mine are kind of a hodgepodge. I very much believe in God.
What does God say to you?
He says all kinds of things. He gives me messages from my mom and my cats.
That's nice.
He tells me I need to live while a lot of other people, like Satan and the archons, tell me that I'm going to die all the time. I have this painting in our office. It's I think it's Sacagawea. David says it's just like an Indian princess, but it's clearly Sacagawea. But I don't know. I have this thing when I get sick where photos and paintings make expressions to me.
Okay, so if I'm up for like 2 or 3 days, like if I'm looking at like someone's face or a picture, like their heads will move and shit.
Yeah, stuff starts to morph. Not sleeping will really make you hallucinate. Mine gets much worse when I don't sleep.
Oh yeah.
And then there's like meth psychosis, which I have had before. I used to smoke a lot of meth when I lived in the desert in Oregon, in this town called Lakeview.
And what else are you going to do?
Yeah, man, it was a small town. Yeah. I lived right around the corner from the cop shop, though, which was, it's very anxiety inducing when you're smoking a bunch of meth. By the end of it, every time I was laying down, I heard sirens, and all I did was watch Sex and the City in the dark and smoke meth. And I would eat like a bag of Doritos like every 4 days, not eat anything else. And my
you ever watch Girls?
Girls? No, I haven't. Do you like it? How is it?
Yeah, it was all right. Yeah? I liked it. Yeah. Yeah. Well, because they were like my age when that was like airing.
How old are you?
I'm 36 right now.
Okay, I'm 32. We're not that far apart.
No.
Yeah, I watched so much Sex in the City. Girls.
Are you afraid of 35?
No. I'm not 40. Afraid of getting older. I don't think so. I'm really not afraid.
What does God's voice sound like?
God's voice just sounds like nothing. I've never heard his voice. It's like a beam into my head. A lot of things are like that.
A beam?
Yeah. Like, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like the best explanation of it, like, you know about Valis, like Philip K. Dick.
Mm-hmm.
He had this God experience where he was hit in the head by this beautiful beam that he called Valis, and it made him believe in God. It was the total experience of God, and it made him know God was real. And when I was like 21, that's when I started believing in God, and something similar happened to me. I was terrified. I was terrified to find out God was real, because it meant there were expectations of me. And I didn't want to be a bad person, but I knew that I was, and it's terrifying to know that there's something so big, but also that it loves you. That can be scary because it means you need to try to do good. And that's a towering expectation for a human being, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like a sort of like how he explained Valis. Usually when it's something good, it gets beamed direct into my head, like angels or God, or my cats. When I put my head forehead to forehead with my cats, we can beam back and forth. David doesn't believe this is true, and he's like, this is like schizophrenic shit, but you know, from them it's not words, but I can translate it into a word in my head. And it's very, I don't know how to explain this exactly.
Sounds like a comic book to me.
Yeah, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a little speech bubble that shoots right into my head. Yeah. A little thought bubble.
You ever done drag?
No. Okay. No. I had a friend named Jeff who wanted to be a drag queen when we were teenagers. And I remember teaching him to walk in heels on Capitol Hill, and he picked these like big fucking 7-inch ones, even though he'd never worn heels before. Mm-hmm. So it was crazy. They didn't quite fit. So what we did was we taped them to his feet. So his feet and the shoes were covered in like this big clear tape, and his ankles were bending like in and out.
That's funny.
He was falling. Yeah. He used to like throw himself into the street when we were drunk, and strike like model poses in front of cars, hoping they would see him and I guess notice him. I used to do this thing when I was little, because my mom was obsessed with like Marilyn Monroe and like 50s movie stars and celebrities in general. And I always heard about like people getting discovered, like, you know, the whole 50s thing of getting discovered at like Schwab's drugstore. Mm-hmm. So she had taught me that I needed to act extra cute when there were cameras around, like grocery store cameras, security cameras. So as a child, I was constantly performing when we were like grocery shopping and shit, hoping that I guess some fucking grocery store manager or some agent was watching the security tapes and would see me and like pluck me out of obscurity and make me a little star.
That's a little bit paranoid in a way.
Yeah, I think I've always been that way.
You know, Philip K. Dick, I have a book of, it's like called The Last Interview. It's like a book of interviews with people, and I have one by Philip K. Dick.
Oh,
and a lot of them, it talks about paranoia and like how he might be paranoid. And he like asks the interviewer if he's paranoid or not. And like,
a lot of speed.
Okay.
Yeah, like massive amounts of speed.
Does that make you paranoid?
Speed makes you very paranoid. You ever like smoked a bunch of meth or done too much coke?
No, I do take Adderall, and
Adderall will make you insane if you abuse it.
I could see the paranoia thing. I can sense that.
I think it's mostly the lack of sleep probably that makes you start getting weird. Like, yeah, a lot of drugs will make you erratic, but if you don't sleep for a long time, you get crazy.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever get angry while on meth?
Because
there's Adderall anger too.
There is. I never got angry on meth.
I always fight with people on Grindr.
You fight with people on Grindr? Do you start shit or do they start shit with you?
A bit back and forth, I think.
Back and forth?
Yeah.
Guys get rude.
Oh, they do. If you deny them, they go a bit crazy. Yeah.
You fat, ugly piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, men don't really like
rejection.
Rejection, man. I mean, who does? But isn't it funny
how they get so emotional and like
throw
a fucking tantrum?
They can't handle it, bro. Isn't it funny when you like do reject someone? Like maybe 5 seconds ago, they were like, they obviously find you attractive. They're like into you, or they wouldn't be hitting you up. But then you turn them down, and all of a sudden you're like a fat, ugly piece of shit, and I don't want to fuck you anyway, which is very funny. I guess that's what they call sour grapes.
Yeah. Now, did you have your first boyfriend?
Oh, boy.
Was he an artist?
Yeah. It was this boy named Bip. I was a crusty. You know, like crust punks, it was big in Seattle where I lived. I always grew up going to a lot of punk shows. It's like not taking baths and wearing piece of shit clothes and listening to like mostly like really aggressive music or like folk punk music. That was very big when I was like younger. And we used to busk. Like I played banjo and he played guitar, and he wrote his old songs, but he sounded like a Muppet a little bit, I guess I'd
say.
Yeah, he had this song called LA, I Wanna Rape You. And he was like, LA, I wanna rape you. Like He sounded like that. David still does that impression of him because he met him once. He was a real piece of shit, though. Yeah, he was a real piece of shit. I was like homeless.
Why do you think you and David have stayed together for so long?
I think because we're best friends and we've always been best friends. Like, I came to his apartment to live on a Christmas day or Christmas Eve when I was 18. I had sold my banjo for a train ticket out of that desert town in Oregon where I'd been living, because I'd been living with this fat old meth dealer named Tom in his trailer, and it was like really depressing, and he had a mirror above his bed, and it was dire, man. And meth, like, these tweakers were always leaving their fucking kids at the trailer. Like, this lady left her kids with me for like 4 days, her two daughters. She just didn't come back, man, for 4 days. So I'm taking care of these kids in this little trailer, and I'm smoking bowls in the bathroom to stay awake and take care of them. And also because I'm addicted to meth. But it was very bad. And so he offered me a place to stay and like get clean. And so I did that. And it was on New Year's Eve, I think, we like kissed for the first time, and then we stayed up talking all night. And then we've just been best friends. I like talking to him better than anybody else. His brain's my favorite brain I ever met. And I think, I don't know, I guess I just believe marriage is forever. My grandparents got married when my grandma was 16. They're still together. My dad's parents, who are dead now, they were together forever. And I've never been mad enough or upset enough or felt it was futile or anything. Like, I always want to be with you, you know. Maybe that's like, I just want to be with him forever. So you weather a lot of stuff, and that's fine. Sometimes you are in the shit. We had a really hard like past 3 years, and this year has been great. Rising. I always say David and Lyndon rising. It's been a very good year.
Has the podcast changed, you guys?
Because we're famous.
No, like, how did he get introduced into this community, though?
David or me?
David and you, yeah. Well, you came to the podcast.
Yeah, I came to the podcast. I, like, got out of the hospital, and Emily had quit while I was there, and he asked me to be on it just to fill the space, and then I stayed on it, I guess, because they liked having me on there and people seemed to like me, which is wholly bizarre, but I will take it. I don't know. He was friends with, I think his name is like Turbo, and this girl named Kate on Twitter, who make this zine called like Damn Chicken Scratches that publishes like writing and poetry. So I think that's the first like writing people, art people he came into contact with, and I'm not really sure. I think he started looking maybe for places to submit and started meeting different writing people. And then he made a lot of like very good friends. He was kind of lonely before. Sure, I guess it can be like a nest of vipers. But I've met some very, very nice, interesting people. I'm very happy that I know these people now. It's been very nice.
Does he ever talk about me off the podcast?
Off the podcast. I think he talked about your interview when you had it, but I don't really remember, because okay. I just gotten out of the hospital, and my memory is real terrible because I take so many pills.
And when are you guys shitting your pants all the time?
It doesn't happen anymore.
Okay.
He did have a dream where he had like crazy diarrhea on some stairs.
Yeah, I think that's what he did.
Did he tell you he like woke up and he thought he had like shit all over the bed?
That was on his podcast.
Yeah, he wakes up and he goes, "Oh no." I don't know. I used to take so many laxatives all the time, like I said, and I used to drink a lot of cough syrup, and I guess that makes you shit. Yeah, but if you take a lot of laxatives, you're just in danger all the time, man. If you take like half a box of Dulcolax, like you're occupied for the rest of the day. It's over, bro. You just get out your phone, stay there. So I guess that's why all this shitting. I shitting, puking, having problems with food is just like a cavalcade of like body horror, I guess.
Yeah.
I used to be a lot worse. I'm more normal now, normal Lyndon.
Now, are you afraid of David like leaving you?
I think if I'm being honest, yes. Whenever I am annoying or rude or difficult, I do worry about that, even though in like my rational mind, I know it's like really unrealistic and I don't think he'd ever do that. Because sometimes I ask him and he's like, God, no, I never do that.
Well, cause that that's a lot of work, I think.
It's a lot of work. Yeah. And I guess like I was diagnosed with schizophrenia in like 2020. And that has been really hard and he has to take care of me a lot more than he used to. I think like maybe I talk good and I can draw and stuff, but I'm like not the most functional in terms of like doing real life stuff or like ADL type stuff. I just have a hard time, which is an unflattering thing to say, but that's just how it is. So that has always made me worry very much that he'll like get tired of dealing with this or taking care of me, because it does get very scary for the other person. It's scary for you, of course. It can be really terrifying, but it's scary.
He brought up an anecdote. Sorry to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
He brought up an anecdote once about you. You thought you had made him something really special, but you were like holding a garbage bag and like taking trash out of it and serving it to him. Do you remember that?
I don't remember it at all. I remember saying treats, 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 because I guess I was taking garbage out of the bag and showing it to him, and I was like, treats, 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 really happy. Like I'd made like a wonderful snack for him, but I didn't, I guess. How it started, the first like weird stuff I started doing was I was studying Russian, because I'm really into languages. Like I took Japanese all through middle and high school and I'm pretty fluent. I'm not as good anymore because I don't really use it except for movies and to sometimes read stuff. So it's degenerated. But
is it hard to be weird?
Hard to be weird?
Yeah, if you're like, if you're ever doing something like you think is kind of weird, but maybe he thinks the schizophrenia is coming on. Is it like, no, I'm not. This isn't what's going on.
It happens sometimes, yeah. I'll say something or do something. I'm schizoaffective. So I have, like, it's like you have schizophrenia and you're bipolar. In the same disorder, and so you'll like cycle through being manic and depressive, but the hallucinations and like distorted thought shit, I guess, is like always present. And not just like when you're manic. Like I hallucinate pretty consistently, like I said, even on medicine. Just nowhere near as bad. It's fine, it's manic. Yeah. It happens for like a few seconds to a couple minutes and I'm fine. I'm straight. But what was I saying? Sorry, my memory is really bad.
You're talking about hallucinating.
Oh.
But do you have to like do you report it to him or do you just like ignore it?
Mostly I just ignore it unless it's like in front of him, and sometimes I won't say anything at all because it's like not worth making him worry.
What's the last one that happened?
Let's see. I was rereading my comic, and like I said, smoking weed makes my hallucinations worse. And I've been smoking a little weed lately for the past like 3 days. And I was reading my own comic because I needed to like check on something for like continuity purposes. And I was reading it, and the text was floating out of place, and it was backlit by like this green glow. And I was like, maybe this is a sign that I'm doing a good job. And the one before that was I was drawing at night, and all of a sudden I heard this really, really aggressive black guy screaming at me, hey, out of nowhere. And I don't want to say it was like, you know, the baby sun in Teletubbies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was kind of like his face was in the baby sun, but you could see his whole head and it was like hurtling towards me. But I heard him right behind my ear, which is crazy. That's happened to me before, like animal sounds right in my ear or something like that. It's always very scary, but that was scary as shit. And then after it happened, I was like, that's pretty funny. So those are the last two I had. But to answer your question, yeah, sometimes like I'm just being normal and it gets misinterpreted as like me doing like a me being unwell, I guess. And so that can be frustrating. So I try to be normal, Lyndon.
I think if you wrote a comic based off your life, I think it would help other people.
You think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because there's got to be other schizophrenic people out there that are living their lives, but maybe struggling. Yeah. And maybe if they had representation, it might help. I don't know.
Yeah. That would be nice because I feel like it's really lonely. I've never met another schizophrenic person. So it would be nice to read something about that or see something about that. I can't handle most depictions of like mental illness and stuff. I used to be fine with it and be able to watch whatever. But then I had that really bad hospital stay that was really traumatic. And I can't really watch anything with like mental hospitals in it anymore, like hospitals at all. And I kind of can't handle people talking about like medication. Like, it's okay if I'm talking about my own shit, but like, I don't know, like mentions of it just like set me in this place where I feel really fucked up. Mm-hmm. And I used to have flashbacks really bad. I don't anymore. Ooh. But so that's unfortunate. I feel like that cuts me off from like other art made maybe by other schizophrenic people. But I think that's, and I guess the thing is like, I mean, I think like art's about like communication, and you're trying so hard to communicate with the things that you make. But it's so sort of close to you, right?
Yeah.
That it's very hard not to get all up in your feelings about it. Mm-hmm. And I think like, obviously, like if you're on like writing Twitter, like your profile is tied to your writing.
Yeah.
So it can get kind of fraught.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of like miscommunications that make people crazy. Yeah, I didn't know it was like so much drama at all. It's
but are you glad for the this new community? What do you think of this like new community and everyone? Are you happy
I'm really happy. Yeah. It's
how long do you think this will last? Like do you guys normally find new communities, like get into them and then leave, or what's
No, not at all.
Like the past 5 years, did you guys have a group of friends or what?
No. We were very isolated, actually. It's mostly just the two of us together. We have one friend in Detroit named Mark, who is like this 56-year-old, like Chaldean Italian guy, who he used to work with us at the liquor store pizza shop that we worked at down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And he was always like, he just freaks out. I don't know. Mark's like I've seen him get up on the counter with like a baseball bat and like start attacking people, and he has this crazy dog. He's a great guy. He really has a good heart. Mm-hmm. He went to prison, I believe, for like attempted murder and like pimping like a long time ago, because there was a lot of Chaldean like gang activity here back in the day. I don't think so much anymore. They've like legitimized. But that's our one friend like in Detroit in real life. Because we just live in like a shitty neighborhood, and we're friends like with everybody in our neighborhood who's nice. You know, we have good relationships with our neighbors. We know them and they know us, and that's a sweet thing. It's very,
yeah, that's rare, I think.
Yeah, it's really tight knit, I think, partially because everyone is poor as fuck. And there's a lot of like violence in the background and just like sketchy shit and like desperation because everyone's economic situation sucks. And sometimes that makes people do bad things.
Do you think that's special, or do you think that's more spread out, that maybe people lower economics are more connected? Because I feel like the richer you are, the more disconnected you are.
I think that's true. I think that's true. I think it makes people profoundly unempathetic. If you have enough money to be like extremely wealthy and you're not doing anything with that money to better the lives of people who are suffering more than you, then doesn't that make you sort of a bad person fundamentally? I kind of think that. I don't think you can sit on a ton of money and be not like morally reprehensible, I guess. Like people don't have homes, people can't eat enough food. It's sort of repulsive because we could feed everyone and house everyone, and there would, you know, but that's a whole thing. I do think people are more connected by being poor just because the experience across the board is like the same, right? One catastrophe will absolutely destroy your life. It's hard to pay bills, it's hard to get what you need. You live in neighborhoods where, in our neighborhood, like when someone gets murdered, it's really funny because the first question invariably, when they're like, yeah, a guy got killed over there, people always ask, what did he do? And it's like, bro, I don't know. He was just like minding his business. Sometimes people just roll up. But I also think it can be like profoundly fracturing.
Yeah.
For like a community, for everyone to be poor, like just because like privation, I think, prompts sometimes predation because people don't have enough. And that's not really an excuse for it. Like most of my neighbors are like very decent people who are poor, and they don't go around robbing people or abusing their like physical power on people or scaring them, or, you know, that's another type of being fucked up.
Do you think, I'm going to change the subject real quick. On the podcast, do you ever think that you guys will cover like comics or something from your community?
Oh, I never thought about that, actually. That might be really cool. I've been reading some cool comics lately.
Are there any contemporary beefs in your community?
Not that I know of. Everyone is really nice. It's definitely like there's really no drama at all ever.
Are there magazines where you get published in or anything?
There are small presses, a lot of small presses who make little magazines and little books. I'm mutuals with a lot of like small presses, and it's fun to see what they put out. And I was really surprised. Kush, that Latvian publisher, just came to me and asked me to make something for their book. That's really crazy, because I only started making comics in the last like year and a half.
For real? I thought you'd been making them the whole time.
No. I only started drawing seriously in 2021 for some
reason. For real?
Yeah, like I drew as a kid.
Because David said you're like a big deal.
People like my drawings. I guess that's a little embarrassing. I don't know if I'm a big deal. People who like my things tend to have a big investment in it.
Well,
they get really
good.
Into it. Yeah, they send me like pictures they drew and ask me a lot of questions. It's very nice. There's like no beef. Everyone's just nice.
How much for a drawing if a magazine came to you and like, we want your drawing in our magazine?
A magazine? I'm not sure. I do draw for money occasionally.
How much?
I think anywhere from like $80 to like $120 usually. Okay. So like not a crazy amount, but not like a shitty amount.
Yeah.
I think it's like slightly more than like minimum wage based on how long it takes me to complete a drawing.
No, like in Burial Mag, you go and you get that published, mm-hmm. but you don't get any money. Is there anything like that in parallel with drawing?
I'm not sure. I think so. Like, I mean, for the Koosh thing, I'm getting paid like 200 euros and I get like 10 bucks.
So because like
there's more money in it.
Yeah. Well, it's supposed to be all the supplies that it takes to draw.
Yeah. And the books are physical. Like, there's not, I haven't seen, like an online comics magazine. That's not, really a thing, mm-hmm. at least in the comics community, like I'm in. So there aren't like Burial Mag or anything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even if it's like a small press, it's like going to be a physical book and a whole thing. I drew a picture for Mari recently, actually, for his story. He wrote this crazy mech story, which I haven't read yet, but I think it's published in
now, Caribbean People. On the podcast right now, when's the next podcast planned?
Not sure, because David's still editing this one. He's been tired lately. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's not done. I think he's saying he's going to get it done in like the next week or 2 weeks.
It's more fun to do it like right after you podcast. If you have to wait a week or two, it's so much harder to get back into.
Dude, anything is harder to pick it back up after you leave it for a while. It fucking sucks too. You psyop yourself like real bad into being like, I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
And then you feel worse and worse for not doing it.